Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this thy house and worship thee, we thank thee. We thank thee for the song service, the opportunity of singing the beautiful hymns of Zion. And we thank thee for the blessings thou hast given to men and women to write those hymns, and men and women who put music to those particular poems. Now, O Lord, we thank thee for them, what joy they bring to our lives. We thank thee for the opportunity of being here, just to come to thy house. And realizing that it is thy house, we meet together with our church family, but again, it is thy house. And we come to worship thee. And we come, we trust, with the felt presence of thy Spirit, for again, it is indeed thy house. And we pray that thy Spirit might be with us as we enter in to the preaching and hearing of thy word, that thy servant may be blessed to preach thy word in power and demonstration of thy Spirit, that thy people may hear and understand, that above all it may be to thy praise and glory and to the good and edification of thy people. Thou knowest the needs we have in our lives, and we pray that thou wilt grant the needs that we have according to thy will, and help us to be content with thy will and whatever it may be. Bless this great nation, we pray. Bless us in election that will be early next month, that thy guidance and blessings will be in that. Now, bless, we pray, those who have asked an interest in prayer, and all others for whom is our duty and privilege to pray. And this we ask together with the forgiveness of our sins, in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verses 1 and 2. Again, the book of Romans, chapter 12, and verses 1 and 2. And I encourage all of you, as much as can, to bring your Bibles, is better. If not, look in pew Bibles and try to follow as I try to read. And I try to be considerable people who are trying to follow me, because I know I go to a lot of different scriptures, and I try to watch that, because somebody told me about that years ago, and I'm sure you don't have a clue which one of you told me that, but you'll guess it. You'll figure it out sometime. But anyway, I try to be mindful of those that are following me in the scriptures. Now, again, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, where the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, wrote, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, the apostle began this passage of scripture with the expression, "I beseech you, therefore." I remember a number of years ago, don't remember where I was, who spoke it, or whatever, but I listened to Christian radio practically all the time while we're in the car. And about the only time I don't listen to it is like Saturday morning when they have children's programs on there, and I don't listen to that usually, or when we don't get very good service. I don't listen to it then. But nevertheless, a number of years ago, I remember in the ministry school, one of the ministers whose pastor, the only pastor he ever had, by the way, was the late Elder Sheldon Marshall. And what a good pastor that would have been to have had. But he said that he was schooled in the fact that when you see the word therefore or wherefore, it shows that there is a connection with what's written shortly before therefore and what's written at least shortly after therefore. There's a connection which precedes and follows it. And one of the Christian ministers on radio said, "Now what is therefore, therefore?" And so what is therefore? What does it mean in this passage of Scripture? "I beseech you, therefore." Therefore means, again, for this reason. There's a connection with the previous passage. And I said I was going to use the passage I used for call to worship. Well, here it is. Romans chapter 11, and just this verse 36 this time, and it says, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Which means, by the way, so let it be. And so that's a prayer within itself. That is that the glory, that Jesus Christ would be glorified. And when he says, "May that be done," he says, "So let it be." That's, again, a prayer within itself, I suppose you might say. We are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, because that glorifies God. That glorifies God. All right? We do it by the mercies of God. That is, we want to glorify Jesus Christ. We want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Not only that we should, but as I said just a moment ago, we should want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, to praise God, to glorify Him, because He has done so much for us. Because His mercies for us are so great. We glorify the Lord again because of His glory, mercies. Think of the death of Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. And I want to read from chapter 12 and verse 3. Again, the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 3. And this verse reads, "For consider him," that's talking about Jesus, by the way, "for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." I don't know everything there is to know about the word contradiction as it's used here in this passage of Scripture. I do know a lot about the word contradiction, because I suppose a lot I say is a contradiction in terms. And I think this is talking about something different here. There's a contradiction. That is, the just died for the unjust. That's what most people would consider a contradiction. And that's what Jesus did. We need to consider what Jesus did for us. And then he says, "Lest you be faint and wearied and faint in your mind." Now, think about what Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered the most agonizing form of capital punishment ever known to man when he was crucified. Because it was a form of death when a person just died, literally died, because he smothered to death. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but maybe another message and whatever, if I feel led to preach about the crucifixion of Christ, that Jesus literally, the crucifixion was that someone literally smothered to death. So we need to think about it. Jesus suffered that for us. Jesus suffered pain. Jesus suffered agony. I've said it myself, and I've heard others say the very same, that the most agonizing thing that happened to Jesus while he was on the cross was at that time when he said the fifth of the seven sayings on the cross, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, why did Jesus say that? Because at that moment, or just before that moment, about that time, Jesus bore our sins within his body to redeem us from all our iniquities. And the Father had been with him, and all the time, all that's about 33 years that he lived upon the face of this earth, the Father had been with him all that time. But at that time, when Jesus was bearing our sins, think about it. The very Son of God bearing our sins within his body. At that very moment, even the Father forsook him and turned his back on him. So, because the Father cannot look upon sin. And so that Jesus suffered that agony on our behalf. When Jesus suffered, he sanctified us. Romans chapter 5, verse 9 tells us that we have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Though we're sinners, we stand justified before the Father because of what Jesus has done for us. Because he justified us by shedding his blood there on the cross. We have hope in heaven because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, that's not just a wish. Listen, brothers, that's an expectation of what God will do for us in heaven's pure world. Now listen, God is so merciful. And because God is so merciful, well, that's one of the reasons we certainly would want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him. Alright? What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice is giving up something for another. Sacrifice was giving the whole animal. Ellen McKinley and I said a number of years ago that an offering was when part of the animal was given to the Lord. But a sacrifice was when all of the animal was given in the service of the Lord. Now, but one example of that has nothing to do with animals and whatever, but in Mark 12, verses 41 through 44, and I'm not going to turn over and read that, but again, from Mark 12, 41 through 44. Most of you are probably familiar with that record. Jesus observed there were some men that came by to give to the temple, give to the Lord's service in the temple. And they were rich men, and they gave greatly from out of their abundance. And that's the way the scripture says, gave out of their abundance. I'm sure those men, I don't know how many there are, I didn't say how many there were, but listen, they gave a lot of money in the temple. And then a poor widow came by. She gave two mites, which was a farthing, and I don't know a great deal about the English money, but not a great deal compared to what even one of the others gave. But Jesus observed that. Jesus noticed that. And Jesus paid attention to that. She said, listen, that, and by the way, those two mites, that was all that poor widow had. And Jesus said concerning her that she gave more than all those rich men together, because they gave of their abundance, and this poor widow gave everything that she had. Now, let's think about this just for a moment. She was a widow. She wasn't on Social Security because it didn't exist. She may have had sons-in-law, nephews, and other family members to help her, but listen, she was dependent on needs of others. And she gave of all her living to the Lord there in the temple. And Jesus said, this woman has given more than all those combined because she gave all that she had. Now listen, brothers and sisters, that's what a sacrifice is. We're to give our all, that is, our body. Many saints have done that. I read a number of years ago, I heard someone say that I wanted to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That was a good book, and I read it. It's not easy reading because all it is, practically everything in that book about how people suffered and gave their lives because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many saints have done that. 11 of the apostles did that. Only the apostle John died from natural causes. All the others had their lives taken from them. And now even more than that, Jesus did that. He made a sacrifice. He offered himself unto the Lord. Now, some say that the dead sacrifice is gone. Sacrifices under the law, as they were taught under the law, are of no value today. And if they look forward to the coming Messiah, Jesus coming as the coming Messiah, and He would fulfill all those sacrifices and offerings. And since He has come and done that, then to continue to make those offerings and sacrifices that look forward to Him is saying that He has not come. He has not fulfilled the law. And so therefore, that would be a mockery of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but we are to continue. Now, we are to make living sacrifices, brothers and sisters. We are to sacrifice worldly things, whatever it may be, that comes between us. We are to sacrifice while we're living, by the way. And we should be willing to sacrifice anything to the Lord. That is, anything that can come between us and the Lord, whether it's a short time or whether it's a long time, we should be willing to sacrifice back to the Lord. These sacrifices that we are to make are holy sacrifices. That is, sacrifices that are done with a pure motive. Now, when we sing, why do we sing?
Well, we should sing to the glory of God. I don't think any of you, I don't try to do that, or up there singing, and whether I'm sitting here or trying to leave the singing as I did a few moments ago, whatever I'm doing, I'm not doing that to show my talent. Because I found out that there are a few times that I have shown my talent. That is, I messed up. But that happens. But listen, brothers and sisters, a pure motive is we do it for the service of God. We do it because we love the Lord. We do it because He has done so much for us. And I think that's what a holy sacrifice is. It is done with a pure motive and not the idea, well, look what I've done. Oh, excuse me, it's not with the idea of, watch this. You know what watch this is? I don't know where I heard it or whatever. That's the last few words somebody says before waking up in the emergency room. And so we don't do that with the idea of watch this. Alright, now, but again, sacrifices that are done with a pure motive. Sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And sacrifices that are made to God. Well, did you know that there's another kind of sacrifice? I started to just tell you about it, but turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 13 and verses 15 and 16. Hebrews 13 and verses 15 and 16. And these verses read, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, that's beautiful, brothers and sisters. Now, I want to say one thing about this. I've got made notes in my Bible where a reference to this, and there are one, two, three, there are five different Old Testament passages of Scripture that are used to write verse 15 that I read this month. Five different Old Testament passages of Scripture. And each one of them is from a different Old Testament book. I won't go into that and whatever, but now he says, but let me say this about the book of Hebrews, and that is, it was written, most people think the Apostle Paul did, his name's not in it, nor any other name, but as a writer, but the writer of the book of Hebrews wrote this to the Jews, to the Hebrews, by the way, to the Jews, to let them know that everything under Christ is better than it was under the law. And one of the things he wrote in this book was things that sacrifices under the law are worthless. Now, in this passage of Scripture, what the Apostle Paul writes is, here is a sacrifice in which God is well pleased. And the sacrifice is praise. Listen, I've got pictures here of my granddaughter. Now, that's something special. The rest of you that have granddaughters, and most of you have children, then that's something special. But listen, there's something greater than that, and that's the Lord. And I've gotten some things recently, I suppose that you have also, and yet there's something greater than all of that, and that is the Lord. I am to offer continually the sacrifice of praise, because everything I have is a gift from the Lord. Now, but these are sacrifices made to God. All right, let's see. What's it called? The fruit of my lips. In one of the Old Testament scriptures, I think Hosea, if I'm not mistaken, it's called the tag of our lips. Tags were animals that were used in sacrifice. But in this passage of scripture, it's called the fruit of our lips. Now, fruit. Not the vegetables, but the fruit of our lips. I've been in an apple warehouse before. I've been in a church building where we're using another church's building, and that church was selling citrus fruit, and a long row between that here and that wall was, say, this high with bushel boxes, or boxes, full boxes of citrus fruit. Now, can you imagine being in either of those places? There's a certain aura, certain aroma that came from the apples and the citrus fruit, and you were just drawn toward them. Listen, brothers and sisters, that when we offer the fruit of our lips, that is by giving
praise to the Lord, then it draws some people to us. Some people, as you probably know, have no use for it whatsoever. They don't want to be around it. They don't want to hear it because they hate Jesus. They're people that don't have the capacity because they haven't been born again. They don't have spiritual life, or they never will have spiritual life because they don't belong to God. But they will never appreciate those things. But there are those that will. I remember a number of years ago, this brother who's now with the Lord, and he was one of those that you didn't have to figure out. It wouldn't take you long to figure out that he loved the Lord because he would speak of the goodness of God. He told me about being in a trash dump one time. He's a white man, and a black man came up there, and one of them said something of the Lord, and his words were, three words, something got started. That is, they began to praise the Lord to each other, and both rejoice in the Lord. Listen, that's the fruit of our lips, brother and sister, something that is the praise of the Lord, and that's the sacrifice, by the way, that we all can make if there's nothing more than the Lord is good. We can make that sacrifice. I've heard that if you were someone that didn't know any English, and whatever language that person spoke, you didn't know anything about that, you could have a conversation with these two words, amen and hallelujah. Because both of those words praise the Lord. And so, brothers and sisters, we can praise the Lord. That's the sacrifice that we are to make. The sacrifice of praise. Now, let's see. But again, what does he say about that? There's sacrifices that God is no longer pleased with them. But now, the sacrifice of praise, he says, with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. All right, brothers and sisters, this is our reasonable service. Think about this compared to the worship of other gods. Think about this. Men damage their bodies in pagan worship. You remember Elijah when he met with the 850, four of them, 400, some of them with Baal and some of them prophets of the grove. You remember when he met with them? And they cried all day, shouted aloud all day for Baal to come down and fulfill and consume the sacrifice there. And sure, he could do that because Baal was a weather god, but he was not only a weather god, but he was no god, period. And he couldn't do that. But then eventually they cut themselves and they jumped on the altar. Sacrifice us, take us. And listen, I thought about that this morning. How much they wanted Baal to really be the god. If Baal had brought down fire, then there'd be no chance of the Lord was God because Baal was God. But of course, they were willing to damage their bodies and give their lives in the pagan worship. Men sacrificed their children to pagan gods. That is, they walked through the fire. They were put on pagan gods, and they were sacrificed in that way. We are just simply to put God first. We're simply to put God first. And again, that's our reasonable service. And he goes and says, we're to be not conformed to this world. We're to be different from the world. And we're not to try to be different just because, you know, just for the sake of being different itself. You know, about every 10 years, I guess I'm trendy. Because these shirts will come, white shirts will come back with point collars and dark suits and whatever. So about 10 years, maybe every 10 years, I'll be trendy. Other than that, I'm out of style. But I tell you, brothers and sisters, the fact is we don't need to be different just for the sake of being different. But we are to have higher standards. And our standards should be higher because God's standards are higher. In Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, God says that His ways were high, His ways were not our ways, and our ways were not His. Because He went on to say, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and so forth. And so God says His ways are high, and we are to follow God's ways. That's how we are to be different. We are to, as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, we are to let our light shine. Listen. The world is full of darkness, and we are to be light. Our lights are to shine. Now, that's the difference there. When we're like Jesus Christ, then our lights are shining, and we're different. That's how we're to be different. If they wear clothes like I do, then that's all right. If they wear shirts like you do, then that's all right. But the fact is that we're to be different when it comes to God's standards. Now, we can be, if we're not careful, we can be so worldly that we don't have time
for the spiritual. Listen, brother and sister, the church, the conduct of the church makes a difference in society. And we need to remember that. And the conduct of the church is made up of the conduct of us as individuals. All right. He goes on to say, be ye transformed. That is, we're to be different. That means we're to be different. Transform is translated from the Greek word metamorpho. And it's the word which gives us the metamorphosis. That is, it's the changing from one form of an animal to another form, by the way, of the same animal. It's not one animal evolving into another, but one form of one animal going, evolving into another form of the very same animal. That's not evolution as the world teaches. That's not that at all. Alright. From a caterpillar to a butterfly or a moth. Now, how does that caterpillar turn into a butterfly, adult butterfly, or adult moth? I don't know. All I know is that adult, beautiful butterfly moth is somehow within that other caterpillar. Some of them have beautiful colors, by the way, but somehow it's within that. I don't understand it, but God made it in that particular way. And God made it maybe for this particular spiritual lesson here. But Jesus did this. When he was transformed there on the mount in front of Peter, James, and John, and light began to shine through his clothing and from his face. And they saw that. They saw part of the glory of God. And transfigured, by the way, is translated, as Jesus was transfigured in Matthew 17. Then that transfigured is translated from the very same Greek word. And we can say that light was always there, but it didn't shine except in that particular period of time. You say, well, we cannot do that. But oh, yes, we can. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, the end of that verse says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ. You've all been born of the Spirit. We've all been born of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is within us. And we are to let the light that is in Jesus Christ shine. And we do that by living the life that the Lord would have us to do. Now, how can we do that? Get your shirt folded. Get that. Get your shirt folded. Alright. Look on the front of that bulletin. What does it say there? It gives the fruit of the Spirit. You see, Sister Brenda didn't know I was going to do this, and I didn't know what the front of the bulletin was going to look like also. And I looked at the front of the bulletin and said, well, there it is. There are the nine qualities that make up the fruit of the Spirit. I believe it starts with love, joy, peace. And as many times as I try to use the fruit of the Spirit in different messages, I should have those memorized, but I don't. And the last one is temperance. But nevertheless, brothers and sisters, that's the way we let the life of Jesus shine in our lives, because that's what Jesus is. And we're to live our lives according to the life of Jesus. And if we manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and by the way, that's fruit. And it draws other people to us. And when we do so, we glorify the Lord. And if we do so by pure motives, that would just the idea to praise, honor, and glorify Jesus Christ. All right, that we may prove. It's the good will of God. The word good means beneficial. And the acceptable will of God. The word acceptable means agreeable. That is, it is agreeable to God, and it will be agreeable to us. And then the perfect will of God. And that is the complete will of God. We do not prove it to God, by the way, because God already knows it. That's why God put it in His Word. But we can prove it to ourselves. What we want is this a good way to live in our lives? If we live those things, then God will bless our lives, and He will bless us to know, yes, that is the good way that the Lord would have us to do. So we prove it to ourselves, and we can prove it to others also. And so, my brothers and sisters, may God bless us to give ourselves in His service, that is the Lord's service. And when we do, we will glorify the Lord. And when we do so, the joys and blessings will be ours. The Lord help us to do so, is my prayer for Christ's sake.